you have a question from a non-Muslim friend?
As a Christian, we believe in the Trinity. We, from a Christian perspective, we believe it is monotheist to the same degree as in Islam. We know that you would disagree to this, but let's focus on the question, not the Trinity. Okay. So the first one, some Muslims tell me that Islam is so logical and simple to understand and embrace and practice. But looking at the question of salvation, as a Christian, I know that through faith and acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I will be saved, and I am 100% certain of paradise if I should die in this moment. And then the question is, if Islam can't promise the same, this 100% certainty of salvation, how can it then be a simpler and better religion?
Very good question. Who would like to answer?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa sallam. So thank you very much. It's an honor to have you, and we certainly appreciate it. The question is posed, how could it be simpler, the Islam and Christianity and the Trinity and the salvation and so on? I had this discussion with a friend that came to the office. So I asked them about, you know, why? He says, because you see, I have to believe that Jesus, may peace be upon him, died for my sins, and I you know, we talked about shirk, you know, and I'll explain that a little bit later. I'll take a little bit of time, forgive me, it needs a little more time. So he says, you know, we're not pure to speak to God Almighty directly. So I have to go through Jesus. I said, okay. So let's compare, because that's what the question is posed. He says, okay, God Almighty says, you are innocent. You are innocent, you are free of sins. Till proven otherwise. And the other side, no, you're not pure. You are sinful, and you're not even worthy to speak to me directly. You have to go through Jesus, may peace be upon him. So I asked him, which one do you like better? The one that says, you know, you're innocent, because you haven't done anything, because Adam alayhi salam did not ask me before I ate the apple. Of course, quote unquote, we don't believe in that, you understand. Nor that Eve alayhi salam did the same. So in the Bible, actually it says that, the iniquity of the father, the son should not carry the iniquity of the father, nor the father should not carry the iniquity of the son. In the Quran, it says the same thing. لَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةً وَزْرَ أُخْرَى. It's fair, it's just. Now, another way, not just looking at through Jesus, and we say that you're ascribing partner unto God Almighty. Why not go directly to God Almighty? And who made you sinful? I'm not going to go into the, because it's a big topic, by the way. So I'm just going to give just the headers. So I said, listen, the Quran says very simple. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبَ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَان. So God Almighty says, listen, you don't have to go through people. If they ask you about me, I am here. So they should ask me. Know anybody else. So I said, which one do you like? That you have to go through someone, or you have to directly go to God Almighty? Or are you sinful, or you're clean? You have to choose. You have to make a decision. And then, listen to this. In Islam, I mean, again, with all due respect to everybody, we understand there are differences. That's fine. We accept that. And we appreciate, I mean, it takes a lot of courage. And I applaud that. And I certainly welcome you. And I have to admit, may Allah bless the brother, and guide me and guide him and guide all of us to a straight path. Now, Jesus, may peace be upon him, because you understand that people, you know, speak in the word of Jesus, right? In the name of Jesus, I do this. In the name of Jesus, I cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, right? So guess what? On judgment day, Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him, himself, he will say, I know you not. My Lord, in the devil, have I not used in your name, I casted out devils. In thy name, my Lord, they will say that. Actually, it's mentioned in the book. So what will Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him, say? Meaning, if I believe in you, I've said this in your name, he will actually say, get away from me, forsake, I know you not. Do you believe it? Even himself on judgment day says, I know you're not. You've done things in my name. He himself said, I am not good. Only God is good. Why you ask me? Ask him. And you'll understand in the Trinity in itself.
This is where is this mentioned?
Oh, okay. I don't have the quotes right now, but
it is in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
That he says that.
Yes, on that day you say, you will come to me and say, my Lord, in thy name I've done righteous deeds. In thy name I've casted out devils. And by the way, I had this discussion with priests and rabbis and multi-faith. And these, by the way, I had a discussion with a DD, Doctrine of Divinity. This is not with the average person. These discussions were taken with scholarly people. He himself says, I do not know the truth about divinity, nor that I can explain it. And these are doctors of divinity, not the average Christian. And again, I don't mean to wallahi offend anybody. These are true stories, personally, not just everybody else. So he says, but we just have to believe in it. If you go back in the Trinity, you'll find out it was done by a lawyer long time ago. And it was written on a side note. And they've added into it. And you'll find out that even the scholar says it was inducted. It was not in the original. And if you go linguistically, you'll find out even those who take the verse to say about the trees, actually two, dual tense, not triple. Now, the question I pose to my dear brothers and sisters, you see, God Almighty sent 124,000 prophets and messengers. 25 mentioned by name in the Quran. Every prophet and messenger since Adam till the last one, Muhammad, may peace be upon him, all. What was their message? Their whole message was what? God is one or three, or the triune God, mend into three. Every message from all the prophets and messengers before that and after that was what? Was one. Who was the only changed? It was at that time. So we asked them, where did you come up with this change? He says it was inducted, it was hinted. But he said, I've said everything unto you in the public place, in public. I didn't hide anything. Everything I had, I said unto you. Remember, this will take another hour, you understand, to explain. But I'm just talking about the salvation now. So we talked a little bit about the Trinity. You'll find out the original, no scholar, no one single scholar in Christianity will ever admit that the Trinity, I will challenge them. Because they already know that. The Trinity was not, I repeat, was not in the original text. The Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity, was never in the original text. Do you know that? But it says it came to the understanding of it. Yeah, you know that? Okay, if I go into that, again, look into that translation of some of the books. You will say that we had to add the Trinity in this book, otherwise these people would not have found or bought this book from us. Now the salvation. Look, when we say that you have to believe that Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him, died in my sin, what happened to people that came before Jesus Christ or after him? Now, could I ask another question?
Now, Muslims, according to you, just to understand. So, for example, we will go to hellfire because Jesus will not save us?
Well, the Christian view is that you need faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. That's correct. And I believe that Christians all over the world would say that.
Yeah, but we believe in him. So we believe in him. So why he doesn't save us on the day of resurrection?
I believe that the basic answer to that is that Christians confess that Jesus Christ is God, which of course Muslims would disagree to. And from the Christian perspective again, if you deny God, then you cannot be saved. With all respect to your belief, but
I'm just asking because sometimes it doesn't really make sense for me.
Okay. Sure.
So Jesus wants us to believe that he is a God, not he is the Son of God. So what is Jesus? Is he the God or the Son of God?
From the Christian perspective, Jesus is the Son of God, but through that, he is also God. The Christian view is that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we believe that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all eternal and powerful in the same manner. So we believe that Jesus being the Son of God, that is true, but He is equal to the Father in eternity and power. So from the Christian perspective, it is not an inconsistency.
So we have to believe in Him as a God in order for Him to what? To save us.
The Christian view is that only Jesus Christ as the Son of God and being God eternally could do what He did by sacrificing His life and then rising again through that paying for the sins of humankind.
Yeah, but it is confusing, and also the issue of human beings. Now Breivik, for example, who killed 80 people, mm-hmm. will be in the heavens, will be in paradise because he believes in Jesus. So the most evil person will be equal to the best person on this earth just by believing that Jesus is God?
Yes, we believe that faith and acceptance of Jesus Christ is the decisive point, and that no matter how sinful you have been, you will be completely forgiven by Him.
So why do I need to be a good person then?
It is a good question, and from the Christian perspective again, we believe that when you believe in Jesus Christ and you, your sins are forgiven, it is not only the particular sins, the acts you have done, that are forgiven, but God also does a miracle inside you by giving you a new nature, which kills the power of sin in you. So not only the particular acts sinful, but also killing off the power of sin.
So the Christians who do bad things, they are not Christians?
Not necessarily. Myself, I believe I'm a Christian, and unfortunately I do sins as well. But we believe that when you have accepted Jesus Christ, doing sins is contrary to the new nature living inside you. So we must repent, of course.
May I
of course.
Ask a follow-up question?
Yeah.
Do you think that it makes sense that the true religion of God is logical or rational for the masses of people to accept? Or do you think it is more reasonable that the religion of God should be very confusing and very irrational to accept for a person? Because from a rational perspective, I can say that since God exists and God wanted us to obey Him, as both you and I believe, His way of life should be natural, naturalistically. A person should naturally find this as making sense to him. If that way of life God wants you to believe in is so weird, doesn't make any sense, how could it be that God will punish you for eternal hellfire for not believing in it? And then you come to the question of salvation, as you mentioned. Does it make any sense? Imagine, for example, that... Are you a father?
No.
Okay. Imagine, for example, you are a father and you have, say, 12 sons.
Fantastic.
11 of those sons, they are really, really bad human beings. One of them kills people, the other tortures people, one of them rapes, or one of them even, they mistreat you, they are terrible towards you. But you have one really, really good son. And that son, he does everything for you. And one day you say, okay, you know what? I'm gonna kill this best son of mine so all of you evil people can come to paradise. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm not sure if that is a perfect metaphor for the Christian faith.
Why not?
We believe that Jesus Christ, who was perfect,
yes,
sacrificed himself by his own choice
It's not by his own choice. Even if you read the Bible, it says when he was put on the cross that he screamed, "Allah, Allah, lama sabakhtani." Oh God, oh God, why have you forsaken me? That doesn't sound like a person who's willingly being crucified. So he's crying out to God, to why have you forsaken me? So obviously, according to the Christian faith, he was put there by God, but not willingly. So the question still remains, how could it be logical that this great, great son that has done all these good things, you just crucify him, so all those murderers, those rapists, all those people like Breivik and evil human beings, as long as they believe that, yes, you actually killed our brother, we are free to go. That doesn't make sense. A rational person would never ever accept that. If I come on the day of judgment and God, he questions me, why did you not believe in that? At least I can say that message did not make any sense at all. But if, for example, if you come on the day of judgment and God asks you, why did you say that I have a son? Why did you say I am three in one? Why did you give partners with me? None of the prophets before Jesus said that. And Jesus himself, you cannot find one single quote where he says that. But and how could you justify all the sins you have done when it's never mentioned in the previous scriptures that a person will just come and die for your sins? How will you justify that? At least I can justify that. No. That faith, if your faith is true, at least I can say that didn't make any sense at all. You should have given me some signs. You should have made it a rational faith. So how can you justify that?
Well, I believe there was several questions in one, but let me try to touch upon it. Basically, we believe that substitutionally sacrificed is possible. The main reason is that God, through his holiness and his holy law, which is an extension of the holiness of God, this law cannot be breached without being made up for again. So we believe that if the law is broken, there must be payment. If God did not demand payment, then he would forsake his own law and then forsake his own holiness, and through that also forsake his own identity as God. So because of that, we believe that payment must be made for sin. And if you look at the Old Testament, you had all those animal sacrifices like given through the law of Moses. We believe that those sacrifices, the animals were innocent, still God decreed them to be killed to atone for the sins of the people.
But to slaughter an animal is not the same as slaughtering a man. You would agree that it's okay to slaughter a sheep to eat it, but you would not agree it's okay to come and slaughter all these people.
Exactly, and that's the main point. We believe that slaughtering the animals could only withhold the wrath of God towards men. But in the end, at a specific time in history, we believe that Jesus Christ was sent to make the all eternal and perfect sacrifice.
Sorry, I couldn't understand. I go back to my point. I apologize. I'm going back to the same point. Which religion do you want? Which one? You're not sinful. You're free. I don't have to kill anything, especially my son, to free you. You're already free. So why do I have to kill somebody to free me? You see? How about this? A religion says, you know what? You are clear. I don't have to kill anyone. Which religion do you want? I have to kill my own son? Which one would you prefer? A religion that says I have to kill my own son? Or which religion that says you are clear? All you have to do is say astaghfirullah. I repent. I ask for your forgiveness. And I, as you heard me mention, if you make one good deed, is multiplied by 10 or up to 700. If you make one evil deed, is multiplied by 1. When you repent from it, it's actually added to become a good deed. So which makes sense to you? Which is a merciful God? A God that kills his own son? Or a God that just forgives and gives you multiple rewards? Which one would you pick? Which makes sense? Makes sense, and which one would you pick?
Well, I would pick the God I believe in and the gospel, because
No, actually, I just asked you a very specific question. I know that you will believe in the God you believe in. I just asked you for a specific question. Which God will you pick? The God that kills his son? Or the God that actually says you are free? All you have to say, forgive me. I will not just forgive you. I will wipe all your sins free. I will turn them into good deeds. You do one good deed multiplied by 10 or 700. You do one evil deed, I will count it as one. And if you repent, I will actually still add it as a good deed. Which God will you pick? The one that kills his own son or the one that actually forgives?
Well, again, I must say it depends on the presuppositions of the question.
Okay, just a very simple yes or no answer. No explanation. Which one will you pick out of the two that I just mentioned? Which one will you pick? A God that kills his own son or the God that forgives out of his mercy and wipes all your sins away and multiplies them to good deeds? Which one would you pick out of these two?
Well, if I move away from the faith I have now and any knowledge I have of God, and of course the view of God presented in the Bible, I guess that you could pick the God who would forgive without any sacrifice, that in a way that would make sense. At the same time, the other option of a God sacrificing his own son would also be a sign of perfect love.
No problems. Thank you. That's it. That's what his signs say. What makes sense? You understand? So when we say talk about logic and sense, so you know what the scholars say? Say, why would God Almighty have a son? You know, when we have a son, because you want to have your lineage, you want to have your progeny, you want to have to protect you when you're old, somebody that helps you. But God Almighty doesn't need that. He actually says that in the Quran. And if he does have a son, did he have an illegitimate son? Because was he married to Mary? They will tell you, no, he wasn't married. So he was married, like out of the wedlock? No, of course not. And if he did have a son, why only one son? Why not two? Why not three? When he did have a son, why white? Why not black? Is God Almighty prejudice? See, so many questions come to mind. Because Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him, is always portrayed as white with the Roman, the beautiful. Why did he not have a black son? Why? Is God Almighty prejudice? Okay, how about this? Why did he not have a daughter? Why a son? Why not a daughter? Is he sexist? Do you understand? So all these things, when we say Islam is a primal instinct, is the innate, it's a natural way to believe there's only one God. He had no father, no son. Because really, when you think about it, Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him, had a beginning. Had a beginning. He was born through Mary, may peace be upon her, the Virgin Mary, as we believe him to be. And by the way, we have a lot in common than you think. But when he has a birth, that means he has a beginning. And when he died, allegedly on the cross, and the brother actually mentioned something that's amazing. If you heard him say it, he was misplaced or transferred. And that's what we believe, by the way, in one of the explanations. That means he did not die. You understand? Because the whole salvation, you have to believe that he died for your sins. Now, when we say, how do you kill God Almighty? Who's running this world? And if he had a beginning, how could he be the Alpha? And when he had an end, how could he be the Omega? How could he be the Alpha and Omega? He cannot be the Alpha nor the Omega. But as a matter of fact, if you go to the book of Jonah, it's one page in the Bible. Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him, himself said, as ye of little faith, I have so many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he talks about the eight times when he talked about the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ when he comes. Again, we don't have enough time to go all the details. But just the book of Jonah, one page in the Bible, go check it out. He says, but you cannot bear them now. You cannot understand this now. But when he comes, he will tell you, meaning Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Now, what did he say as the book of Jonah? He says, as the Son of Man be. To whom? He says, as Jonah was. Jonah is known, Yunus alayhi salam, Hud, Jonah, mentioned, of course, in the Bible. If you studied, you'll know. He says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in that belly of the earth. 3 nights and 3 days. You understand? Okay. So he knows now, and he thinks now it's good, which is, I really appreciate this, to come to the understanding that Jesus Christ may be not the one who was actually crucified, that he did not die. Is that correct? We believe the same. We believe he did not die. We believe he was actually saved by God Almighty. Is one verse, one translation says, grace is due to God, the one that saved me. He mentioned that. So when he is not dead, he's alive. How could he have died for your own sin? Very confusing statement. I go back to the amazing point. It says, it's a very confusing statement. How could you build your hereafter ever on something that is so confusing? How could it be not that simple that God Almighty says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, say He's one and only. Very simple. I can take that. لَمْ يَلِدْ, He does not beget. لَمْ يُولَدْ, He's not begotten. Very simple, clean, decisive answers. No gray area, no questions. Even the Christian scholars are divided up till now, talking about the divinity. Was he there born? Was he there? Was he buried? Is he the nails that was buried? Was he the spirit? Is he the body? Is he soul and body together? Was he before? Was he after? Is he the light? Amazing, up till now, there's so many books written, so many debates talking about that issue. And you'll find out it was not in the original. It was concocted by a human being. You understand? Of course, there's a lot more. But the salvation for us, you understand? I understand your salvation because as you asked, God Almighty says, it's only by my mercy. I will only ask you one thing. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ وَيُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. God Almighty forgives not the active shirk. Active shirk is ascribe partners unto God, meaning that God is three, triune God. He forgives not that. He forgives everything else. Because a teacher came to the school, and actually I was talking about this when the schools come and learn about Islam. He says, that's not fair. If God Almighty forgives all sins, why did He not forgive the Trinity? So I said, do you have a child? Perfect. He says, yes. He says, could you imagine? You spend your whole life working to build your house, to get your wife to work, to provide the food, your shelters, your wife seen death to give your children a birth, and you've worked part-time, part-time, full-time, everything to put them through school. You were weak, they were strong. Sorry, you were strong, they were weak. You were rich, they were poor. Now that they put them through school, you've done everything for them, you and your wife. And now you are weak and they are strong. You are poor and they are rich. You say, you are not my father. You are not my mother. You've done nothing for me. Thanks for nothing. How would you feel? He says, that would be very difficult. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, give us creation. We worship somebody else. Allah gives us provisions. We thank somebody else. You see? And so on. So there's so much more, of course. But the logic question we posed, the logic answer is explained, makes a lot more sense. And the choice that you yourself was given, which God Almighty would you choose? The one that has to kill his own son is better, or the one that simply forgives is better.